Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Since December, we've been jumping around a little bit in the book of Isaiah, all within those final 27 chapters, chapters 40 through 66. We started out going in order, but then different festivals of the church year or different seasons of the church year had us skipping ahead a little bit. We'll cover it all in this church year, these 27 chapters of Isaiah's book. Last week, if you recall, not last week, last time we met for Vespers, which was way back for the baptism of our Lord, we looked at Isaiah chapter 42 and those words that God the Father spoke ahead of time to his Son or about his Son, "Behold, my servant, whom I uphold." This evening, we backtrack just a little bit and take a look at the first half of the previous chapter, chapter 41. Remember the setting. Isaiah is writing 100 years, more than that, before Jerusalem was destroyed and the Jews were taken captive to Babylon. But he's writing for that time in the future. He's writing primarily to the future captives, the Jews held captive by the Babylonians in Babylon, far away from their homeland in Jerusalem. And he's prophesying their eventual deliverance from Babylon, especially in the first 9 chapters. He writes, "Listen to me in silence, O coastlands. Let the peoples renew their strength. Let them approach, then let them speak. Let us together draw near for judgment." The Lord calls out to the coastlands, the faraway Gentile lands, to gather them for judgment. The Gentile nations have defied the Lord. They have worshipped their man-made idols, and many of them have oppressed the people of Israel. So God calls them together to rebuke them. He wants them to consider, "Who stirred up one from the east, whom victory meets at every step? He gives up nations before him, so that he tramples kings underfoot. He makes them like dust with his sword, like driven stubble with his bow. He pursues them and passes on safely by paths his feet have not trod. Who has performed and done this, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first, and with the last, I am he." First, who is this one from the east that he's talking about? Well, it's a champion whom the Lord is sending to bring destruction on the Gentile nations and to bring deliverance to his people Israel from captivity in Babylon. We'll hear more about him in the coming chapters of Isaiah. Figuratively, it actually points ahead to Christ, but it points directly to Cyrus the Great, Cyrus the Persian. Isaiah will even name Cyrus in the next few chapters, even though Cyrus wasn't going to be born for over 100 years. From 605 BC to 586 BC, the Babylonians were carrying out raids against Jerusalem and the Jews. In 586 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar took the Jews captive and held them in Babylon. But in 539 BC, Cyrus the Great had been conquering the world already at that time with his Persian army. And in that year, he conquered the Babylonians and eventually sent out an edict together with Darius the Mede that the people of Israel could go free, could return freely to their homeland. Here in these verses, God begins to reveal this plan of his to the future captives. But the point of these verses is not just to introduce that champion of the Lord, Cyrus. It's to serve as a witness to the Gentiles that the Lord God of Israel is the one who foretold Cyrus's coming over 100 years before Cyrus was even born, who raised him up and who sent him against the Babylonians in order to rescue his chosen people of Israel. God had been working to manipulate the history of the world so that all the right actors were in just the right places at just the right times to carry out his will for his people. Yes, he brought the Babylonians against Israel in the first place for Israel's infidelity. But he would also bring the conqueror of the Babylonians along at just the right time to deliver them. The coastlands have seen and are afraid. The ends of the earth tremble. They have drawn near and come. Everyone helps his neighbor and says to his brother, "Be strong." The craftsman strengthens the goldsmith, and he who smooths with the hammer, him who strikes the anvil, saying of the soldering, "It is good." And they strengthen it with nails so that it cannot be moved. The nations whom Cyrus will conquer along the way are afraid as they hear of his approach because he is victorious at every turn. The nations are wringing their hands. They're trying to give pep talks to one another. "It'll be fine. Just be strong." They're getting their idol images ready to protect them from this champion, from his invasion. And they strengthen those idols by nailing them down, as if that will help. But no one can stop the Lord from sending his champion to deliver his people. While the nations are cowering in fear at Cyrus's coming, the people of Israel are comforted. "But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest corners, saying to you, 'You are my servant, I have chosen you and not cast you off,' fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." See how tenderly the Lord now speaks to Israel. "Israel, my servant," he calls them. We saw that same phrase in the next chapter, "my servant," referring to the Christ specifically and his work that he would do. Sometimes in these chapters of Isaiah, the servant of the Lord is the Christ himself. Other times, the servant of the Lord is the whole people of Israel. And we have to watch the context to know which is talking about which. But you can see why it's related. Christ, just as in the New Testament church, is the head of the church, the head of the body, so also in the Old Testament church, Christ, the head, referred to as Israel and the servant of the Lord, also the body, Israel, the people, referred to as Israel, as the servant of the Lord. We'll see in the next chapter again, Christ is the servant, now Israel is the servant, and God goes back to the beginning of when he called them, 1,500 years earlier at the time of Abraham, when Abraham was no one, but God chose him, called him his friend, as we're studying now in the book of Genesis. And then Isaac, and then Jacob, Israel came along, and God chose those people. He chose to be gracious to them. He chose to train them and teach them and nurture them. He chose to call them his own and to be their God. He reminds them of that in these verses, how he carried them along and how he now will continue to watch over them, to be faithful to his promises to them. He punished them when they were disobedient, but now is a time of deliverance. Now they've been brought to repentance in captivity, and they're ready for the Lord to deliver. He's stretching out his right hand to deliver his people. Behold, all who are incensed against you shall be put to shame and confounded. Those who strive against you shall be as nothing and shall perish. You shall seek those who contend with you, but you shall not find them. Those who war against you shall be as nothing at all. For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, I am the one who helps you. God graciously promises Israel that although he had allowed the nations to come in and fight against them, now he will fight for them. He will sweep all their enemies out of the way like they're nothing. They are to picture God holding out his right hand and then taking them by their right hand, saying, fear not, I am the one who helps you. And that's the Lord's message to everyone who has been brought to repentance, to everyone who has fallen into despair because of their sins and the consequences of them. To Israel, as they sat in captivity, finally realizing how foolish they had been to rebel against their helper, despairing of escape from their captivity, God held out his right hand through his word, fear not, I am the one who helps you. And he did. He sent his champion, Cyrus, and delivered them from captivity. And then he sent the real champion, the Christ, to battle against their enemies of sin, death, and the devil, and he delivered them. Fear not, I am the one who helps you, Jesus says. And now to his New Testament Israel, to his Christians throughout the world, and to those who would become Christians, God says the same thing. Fear not, I am the one who helps you. When we come to see that we've ruined things for ourselves, that we have foolishly put God, our helper, on the back burner. When the world stands against us, when we've lost all hope of saving ourselves, God reaches out his right hand. Fear not, I am the one who helps you. So don't despair. Don't trust in idols. Don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in any human savior. Put your trust in God alone, and you too will be helped. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.